one more, and that here's another one. Much more the multiracial team. Okay, members, we're going to open for questions to Sopho. Can I see hands? Honourable Ms. Logan.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to know from Sopho. Firstly, I want to ask you a question. Do you recognize if they are being disciplined internally and externally? If they are being found guilty, what do you do? That's the first question. The second question, you raise the figures that the intelligence. I want to be very specific on this one, because you have quoted the figure here. Crime intelligence and perception service. According to you, there is no budget for it. But when you presented the earpiece, you said detectives can't do their job without crime intelligence. That's what you said. Were you involved in part and parcel of the department when they were planning to do the budget as representative of the workers? If not, why not? The last question, Chairperson, is the docket. You said there are around about 150 to 200 dockets that are being carried by each detective. What would be your ideal case for detective to carry a docket? Or are you implying, therefore, that detectives should be increased in numbers so that they are able to carry less dockets? In other words, this question is a double-barrel question. I'm asking what would you think would be a good number, or do you think that the detectives should be increased of the number that we have? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you so much. I wonder if you could fill me in a bit on the suspension without pay. I agree, it's absolutely illegal, but it does happen. But I, in my experience, have noticed that it happens specifically to whistleblowers. I've had that happen. I'm interested on some input from you. Who tends to get suspended without pay? Is it a payback sort of thing by the people they're targeting, or why would someone be suspended without pay? Why does it still go on? And I'm also interested, you were here when Mr. Newman was Gareth was giving his presentation, and he referred to disciplinary cases where a sentence was given, it was then suspended. In your experience, could you also give an indication of when that tends to happen, why it happens? It's a very bizarre sort of process, and I agree with him that it's something one tends not to understand. Criminality is criminality. He refers in his document to thousands of members who have been convicted of criminal offences who are still in the shadows today. I believe in the regulation that says the moment you're convicted of a crime, you're out. That standard operational procedure. Could you explain from your perspective what the situation is there, please?
Honourable Mr. Boston, thank you, Chairperson. You made mention of a capacity issue in detectives. What is your recommendation on that one? My second question is on when you represent this member who has committed serious misconduct, what do you do? Do you say they haven't done it, or what really do you do? I know for a fact that when we visit police stations, station commanders complain of the way they are being treated by unions when they try and enforce discipline on their members. Members simply run to the unions and the unions do whatever. I know also there is this excitement of belonging to unions which they did not belong to in the past. There is this excitement which can be abused. What do you do when you represent them after having committed a very serious offense? Thank you.
Yeah, the Honourable George.
Madam Chair, I see that we have requested from this committee some work. But I look at this thing, some of the things they have requested from us. My problem is this. We want to talk to the management, but how practical is it? For instance, you say police stations are in a bad state, lack basic infrastructure, which I agree. Some of the things they're saying we have seen. But, and also let me link it also with your request that the budget infrastructure is used for budget, is for infrastructure, not other things. Talk about police barracks or so to say. But my question to you, besides what we are doing, which we do when we go to we call management, we tell them that this is it. But unfortunately, we can probably go to 6 police stations, at the maximum 10, they are now. Now, we say this must be improved, and it is done. But my question is, you are also police. You're part of the police service, and you've got numbers from what I hear. Now, what else do you expect us to do beyond what we're doing? Is there no way where you can, because most of your, if you look at the police station, surely the majority of the people in the police station are union members. Why don't you also push this thing that these police stations are improved, their conditions are improved? The other thing, of course, that we have asked about the cities. These are also the things which we say every day. I mean, what else do you think we can do? Because, for instance, probably when we meet the police, we're going to tell them that the complaint that we talk about, sometimes these figures are even hidden. You ask the branch commander, what is your average number of dockets? They tell you it's 9. So I'm saying, you say things which we would like to help, but Madam Chair, my biggest problem is, I don't want you to, because I see you said you asked something, I saw it here when you were reading, we never help you. But there are certainly, we've got an invitation, we don't stay in police station. We are not there. We can only call management and tell them and hammer them, and they promise us that they're going to do that. But I'm asking you, what else can you expect us to do?
Is there any other questions from members? Okay. I also, can I just ask you, in terms of the issue of an internal corruption unit. The previous unit was there was also problematic to some extent. You will remember that there were complaints against abuse by those that very unit themselves. How do you perceive this internal corruption unit to look like? I mean, are we talking about the similar thing that we had in the past? How do we make sure that we don't have a repetition of the same problems? I'm sure you would remember that there were complaints around the internal corruption unit with INSAF. I also accept that there would always be complaints about the internal corruption unit because you're not going to like those police officers because they're looking at other police officers doing their duty. The issue of format, I think the committee would appreciate it if you can provide the committee with more information on format, even if it's not now, but even if it's in writing to us, you know, what are the problems, etc., etc. Because we have asked last year why SACS are not yet a member of GEMS, the government medical scheme. I remember very clearly as asking that question, but it is, I think, an important question also in light of what the minister said here this morning, where he said that environment for police officers need to be conducive. Now, that is also to know that your family and yourself are being taken care of when there's a medical need. And also, you might have a police officer for very specific reasons saying, I don't want to see a police psychologist, I would rather see a private psychologist. And then that medical aid must come to the party in terms of that as well. I personally also have quite a number of complaints from retired police officers who say the medical aid, they get older, the medical aid just simply does not live up to the expectations. In fact, there's a court ruling around that, something that we will have to look at in terms of the retired police officers and the amount that they are paying, etc., etc. And SACS is not adhering to that court ruling. We pretty soon going to see a situation where the retired police officers are going to take the minister to court again around this issue. And it's really a serious problem because we cannot look at it from a perspective that we're working, it's not our problem. In a few years' time, many of you sitting here are going to be retired police officers yourselves, and then you want to see that your medical aid is of such a nature that it can look after you. You haven't worked for 30 years to have a medical aid that starts in April and May, there's nothing left. So if you can give us more concrete information around the problems of the medical aid, I think we will appreciate that because we can then engage with SACS management around the issue of format. The issue of the barracks, the committee did raise on a number of occasions. And I think members, you would also see that even though we've requested that the list of police stations and public, the capital works projects for the year must be in the performance plan, that it's not there. It's not listed. You remember this committee instructed management that we want to know what are you going to do for this financial year, starting date, end date, and cost. Now, it's not in the performance plan or in the strategy plan. So that's something that we will have to request SACS or in SACS to give to us even after the public, after we've engaged with them on the budget. But it is a problem, because all of those speaks to me, for me, to the point that the minister has raised about a healthy environment for a healthy, I'm not talking about physical health, but a healthy police officer. So if you can give us that, I would really appreciate it. I do think there is a bit of a confusion in terms of the numbers that you've given me, and I don't think your interpretation is most probably 100% correct. But we will follow up on those contradictions that you have shown there. There was one more question that I want to ask you after this. Come to you, Honourable Molibatsi, while I look for mine.
My other question is on problem two, Ms. Paul. You seem to be saying the budget is not enough. Did I hear you well? You seem to be saying it is not enough when this poll is getting a bigger chunk of the budget. So Maybe I'm wrong. Are you seeing that? Thank you.
Honorable TD.
I just want to understand when they say the police don't have access to the phone and to the RPP houses. Because I know that there is an in-between, I don't know how to call it in English, that if you qualify for an RPP, you cannot qualify for the higher, but there is that in the middle that you can apply for, get a bond. Within a certain amount, I don't know whether it's 3,000 or somewhere around there.
Mm.
But now I don't know if the police get far less that can not able them to get that bond, which is for lower income. Thanks.
Honorable Philibana and then Honorable Ms. Lawson.
Yeah, I didn't see reference to it in the document, but you're probably the perfect person to speak to about it. The issue of theft pensions, I know the Public Protector's Office has a special division that deals with pensions that simply aren't paid out. Now, the last time I was dealing with them, they had about 2,000 cases. Sometimes it takes up to 3 years for the first round of the pension to go through, because there's some administrative glitch, and they're saying that 30 years ago you took a half day off, and someone says it was sick leave, and someone says it was leave, and then they fight about it. And they keep, I mean, the staff members have lost their homes, and their vehicles all reattached or attached because of this problem. Please just fill me in what the status is today. Thank you.
Alderman Lawson.
Jefferson, I left this question by mistake. I wanted to know, are your officers part and parcel of recruitment? Are your officers, are your members part and parcel of recruitment? HR, in the HR. If they are, and we had the minister in the morning, what would be your response?
No, I'm not clear on the issue of training and development. They're saying the budget for training and development is not clear. Is it low? Why, how is it not clear? I'm not clear. I'm reminded of my question. Promotions within the SAPS is a big challenge. We all know that. I don't think it serves any purpose denying that. Now, when we visit police stations, police officers with more or less the same number of years experience than yourself, some with less, are saying bring back the merit boards, the promotion boards that you used to see. Can you indicate to us how you believe promotions can be dealt with better within the SAPS? I think those are the questions, members. Thank you. You can respond to those.
The first question came from Honorable Bavundo Kati. You wanted to know if we represent members in disciplinary cases. And the answer would be yes. This is one of the responsibilities of a labor movement. Why it is established. You have members in there. Your job is to make sure that the process is fair, and that members are not prejudiced during the process. It does not necessarily mean that we condone, a crime to which these members are being charged with. It is just an administrative process that we happen to be there. And I think a person has the right to be viewed innocent up until you are found guilty. in any of the two issues that we have of law. And you said, if they are found guilty, what do you do? The police have got specific precedents that need to be followed. It says, if a member has been found guilty, you have up until, I think, 15 days, if not mistaken, you know, to appeal the sanction against you. The union assists them during that process. If they're not happy about the outcome, BBC, there are these provisions that are being made in terms of the law within the police that you can arbitrate against that decision that has been made. We assist the members through there as well. When they're not happy during of the outcome of the arbitrator, they have the right to approach the labor court. And we assist it, even in that environment. It is just an issue of making sure that the members are not prejudiced during the process. The issue of intelligence or the recruitment, you wanted to know if we form part of the issue of recruitment, you wanted to know if we do form part of the HR. To recruit and employ in the South African Police Service is a management prerogative. It has got nothing to do with union. Remember, we are employee representatives. We don't form part of the employment and recruitment of the service, in the sense of the members into the service. We don't form part of that. The issue of intelligence and PSS, those two units, as we speak, it became a part of the discussion of the BBC to bring PSS and crime intelligence together. And I'm told now that last week when we presented proof to management that the issue of CIPS is already in place, management withdrew that point from the agenda. They withdrew it. But does not mean that because they've withdrawn it, it means that that point has fallen away. But should it happen that they continue and merge those two departments into CIPS, then it will fly on the face of budget vote 25 that we have. Because then they have to decrease the programs that we have in the police, the five programs. It means that two are going to be collapsed to one and then we'll remain with only four. Then the question comes in and says, is there synergy between the authorities that deal with the issues of budget and the police department when they present the budget to them? Because according to our understanding, it will mean that for this budget for 25, issues must remain the same as indicated in this budget. Up until they come up with new ideas and they say, now we are changing the structure, it's not only going to look like this, but that has to be all set and dealt with in the new coming financial year. That is just our understanding. Hence, we brought it in here, the issue of intelligence and PSS. You also asked the issue of the plenary session of the budget. You said we form part of that. For us to get the budget from the police, I think we came to the portfolio committee and we said, we are not privy to that information. Even if we were to go there and say, we need this information, they will tell you that you have to apply for it, you have to do this. You know, they are very hostile, they were very hostile towards us. But now, the only thing that they can do is to provide us now with a document. And we must use our own expertise to go and through the document, analyze it, get experts to go deep into that document and tell us if we will be able to achieve, or the institution will be able to achieve the required objectives that is set for that period. A docket carried by detectives, and you wanted to know what will be the ideal, number of dockets detectives need to carry. It depends what type of crime this detective officer is carrying today. If it is general investigation includes all crimes. It includes everything. But if it is specific investigations like murder, commercial crimes, and all that. That will vary as well, because to investigate a murder, it takes longer than to investigate a case of assault. The ideal situation in which the police has indicated part of the performance charter is that a detective should at least be able to carry 60 dockets per month, 60 per month. But they are currently carrying between 150 and 200 dockets. And that situation is not correct. And then you said, does that mean if detectives that were carrying 150 to 200, is it an indication that we have got less detectives and that we should increase detectives so that the number of dockets that are carrying is decreased? The answer will be yes. Remember, a year ago, they came to this environment and then they said we've got 26,000 detectives. And we need to increase the number. We need to increase them. But when we look at this budget vote, we realize that they're standing at 29, and we are questioning the 3,000. But where did they get the 3,000? Because we can tell you now, it is not true that they have achieved 3,000, you know, income, what do you call the income into the detective department in terms of personnel. That one they cannot. If they are able to prove that, it will be very interesting for us to see that. Because within a period of a year, even part of the outcome on the year which was declared as a year for detectives is going to show this. To say, what is it that they've achieved during this year, which was declared as a year for detectives? It will be very interesting to see exactly what is it that they've achieved during that time. We also, in that environment, also indicated as to the issue of the specialized investigation. What is in that? What's the 2,802 numbers that are in there? Is it DPCI? Who are those people in that environment? We've tried to go through here, we don't see. You will also see when they were trying to break it down, they've got four programs. I think they've only dealt with three programs, and then they have one program out, which we don't understand why it's been to that. Suspension without pay. Honorable Banner, suspension without pay, it is when a police officer has committed a misconduct. And when he has committed a misconduct, then the police say, we're giving you from 48 hours to 7 days. It varies. It depends as to if they are happy today, they will give you, or they are happy with you, they will give you 7 days. If they are really not happy with you, they will give you 48 hours. 48 hours to respond to them as to why you cannot be suspended with or without benefit. Then they will unpack, you know, in a very short summary to say, this is a very serious offense. You need to give us representation within, otherwise you are going to be suspended with or without pay. Now, in the previous input that we made with the committee, we said, that is unlawful, to suspend a member without benefits, because it does not only have a negative impact on the person, you're not disciplining the person, their families are falling apart. People are losing, police officers are losing houses. They are losing almost everything just because of the suspension without pay. And only to find out later that there was really no case against this member. The member has made an allegation. It must be proven. And when the time to prove comes, and they cannot prove the case against that member, and he comes back into the system, now with the pay, if it has taken more than 4 years, because I also heard about the dragging, I think the minister spoke about the issue of the dragging of the cases and all that. If the police have stayed that police officer for more than 4 years, in the following month, in that, when a member wins the case, the police take the matter on review. When they take the matter on review, it depends on when is the court available to hear that matter of that member. If the court is available in 3 years' time, when you're going towards the third year, But towards the day, the police comes back and they say, oh, welcome, let us settle the matter. 2 years or 3 years down the line, they said, let us settle the matter out of court. Then there's a settlement. In that settlement, they are not even ashamed to come and bargain with you and say, tell your member that we can only afford to pay him or her just for him for a year. The last 2 years, we are not forming part of that. But then you ask yourself the question, why was the member on suspension without benefit for 3 or 4 years? Is it through the member's cost or is it through the employer's cost? And you'll find that it is through the employer's cost. The members pay the grant for all these things. And then you come to the issue of the suspension now, the suspended dismissal, suspended sentence. You know, we've got cases today, and I'm not afraid. I think the time has come that sometimes we become specific and mention even names of people that we know. That the system in the industry, this system of discipline, commanders can go out and say what they want to say. They are the cause of the problem which we have today here. They are the ones. You cannot keep on, because this is a senior police officer. You know the history of this police officer. You know that this person lacks interpersonal skills. You cannot place this person in a place, in an environment where this person has to continue and interact with the members of the public or even the police officials themselves. But because it's your darling, it's your blue-eyed boy, you try by all means to keep cases, you know, which this person has been found guilty of. One member that we know is a brigadier in the police. This person had a suspended dismissal case. It ran for 12 months. When an investigation took place, this is the report, it is the final report of such an investigation. When this investigation has been completed, then they realize that through this investigation, that member may be fired. What do? They then keep this document and not make it public up until the expired period of that 12 months. When it expires, it's like this person has never been convicted of any offense. So what do? Then they publish this document. When they publish the document, then when they hear the noise and they see the impact of the document, they remove that person and place that person in another environment. But the problem does not stop. They keep on transferring the problem. That person goes into another environment. And there, in that environment, there are so many cases which I can inform the committee and I will bring it to your attention. I'm going to bring you all those facts. I'm going to bring them to you. Where many members are complaining terribly against the Western incumbent. Gauteng have asked, the Gauteng legislature have asked the question and said, tell us why this member is always off sick. They gave a response. But what is so surprising in that response? They don't explain as to what is the cause of that person's absence at work. And they are the main cause of the problem. The psychiatric reports are there. I think it was also on the newspaper this weekend. Yes. So these are the issues. Whether it is an issue of payback or whatever, we don't know. But we think it is arrogancy by some police management or just completely bypass the rules that are within here. We've got sufficient policies here. We've got sufficient regulations. We've got sufficient, even the discipline rate is sufficient. But you don't pick up a phone and tell the presiding officer and say, dismiss that member. Whether there's a prima facie case or not, you say, dismiss that person. You can't do that. It means you don't trust the very same system that you have in place. And this is the current situation, unfortunately, which is happening in the police. And this creates tension on the region. Terrible, terrible tension on that society. The new disciplinary regs which have been reviewed, I think the disciplinary regs on the chair have been reviewed. And it has been signed, you form part of the signing ceremony with the National Commissioner late last year. The new disciplinary regs which try to expedite the process of disciplining the members, it is in place. But there are four requirements there's no requirement of disciplinary. It says it should must never be utilized as a punitive measure, but it should be utilized as a corrective measure. What is this that you have to do to correct the incident, the misconduct by the men? There are issues of incapacity, ill health, which the disciplinary rights will only flag during the hearing, and then it becomes the responsibility of the employer to make sure that that member is being referred to the relevant institution for rehabilitation, for correctional, you know, purpose. Not in all instances the police management do that. Is it because they don't understand it? Is it because they're not acquainted with the principles of the law? And our answer to all this is clear, is that we've got commanders who really don't know what to do in certain situations. They are not tried, they are not even tested. The only time when you will see him faltering, it is when they are messing up big time, like the problems which we have today. Capacity building. You said, Honorable Mulibar, I think the issue of representation of members have answered this when I was covering on the issue of, that the issue of capacity building. You see, this is the simplest institution. Police is the simplest institution of them all, which is so simple to command and manage. And I would say this. A constable, two constables, have to be manned by one person. Starting from the ground, if you were to get that ratio, you will see that each and every ground has been covered. But why did we in the past do away with the junior commander's course? The junior commander's course. Because the junior commander's course, it teaches you, me, how to deal and help my staff of about 2. If a patient, the client service center is managed by a tenant, it will tell you that there must be two major, there must be 3 captains, there must be 4 lieutenants, 8 warrant officers. It goes like a pyramid. But in each and every sector there is command and control, a bit and pieces of command and control. My responsibility as a commander, I don't even have to go, if I'm a special commissioner, I don't even have to go to the client service center. I will go to the client service center only if I'm going to check the SFP10, which is the Oscar in the book. That's my responsibility. When I arrive in the morning, I need to know what has been happening throughout the whole night before I go to the crime combating forum meeting. Now, the capacity building part of it is that we need to go back to the basics. Junior commander's courses must come back. I've heard that some of the personnel now have been sent to PAR recently. It's a good thing, but they must then have to go full on from down there and actually rectify that situation. We've got police officers, highly, highly skilled, but they take an advantage of the polarized command and control. They're taking advantage of that. Honorable George, you have raised the issue of infrastructure. You have seen on television members going into the bush. It is true that you are asking questions. What more do you want from us? What more do you feel from the committee? We know, you know, and you will be shocked when we say this to you. When we raise issues that are raised in this environment, and we are meeting with management, and we say, but by the way, the portfolio committee has said the following. Do you know how arrogant some of the management are? They will tell you that the portfolio committee on police responsibilities and oversight. Period. They cannot come and tell me what to do here. That's what they do. Now, we need an infrastructure. We need better infrastructure. We do have cash. I've finished it. Yes. We need to utilize this money. I've watched police barracks that moved away to multi-million infrastructure. The police for the past, I think, 10 years They have left it just like that, unattended. That barrack is one of the best barracks around and very expensive. We have left it. It's dilapidated now. It's rotten because rain are pouring. I don't know if that is if that structure, the pillars of that structure, if you were to go on and want to rejuvenate it now, it will still be strong to stand those floors there. We don't know. It has, it, because it might have gone through wear and tear. The pillars might not be strong enough to carry whatever is going to be done on its day. So are the police stations. You know, we went to more than 6 police stations, not only in the urban areas, even the rural areas. And when we went there, we took photos, you know, videos of this environment. If you look at this picture, they are very, very disappointed. That is why we are saying, I think we need to go. And sometimes when you feel, when you are coming down to other areas, if you were from Gauteng, indicate what are the chairs so that we can sometimes take you into this environment without you informing them. We just drive together and say, let's go into this building. We don't show you other places there. We show you the infrastructure that we are talking about. You know, police officers were complaining and said, look at this building. You see it's broken. You will look for a suspect that you have just kept there because you want to charge it. When you come back, the suspect is not here anymore. The suspect is in the ceiling. And then later on, he will wait for you guys to go out and open the building. You know, I don't know where this person is because he won't lock anymore. You will think it's gone. And during that time, the suspect gets out and he's gone. We were there, and police officers have been showing all of these things to us. And that's why we brought in the issue of infrastructure. And I know, Honorable George, that they might say whatever they are saying down there, that you only are playing an oversight role. I know for a fact that when they hear that you are around, they do jitter. They do jitter. So what we need to do, I think, is to have to work together and go to this specific area. And the special commissioners in that environment must take account. They must account for whatever you are going to find is incorrect in that environment. And I think the other thing that makes this infrastructure to be so polarized is the issue of inspection. I think the minister this morning spoke about this well. A station which goes bad, a year goes bad, without an inspection. Without an inspection. Then there's nothing to fear. The time when we are going to find out that there are mistakes is the time when we'll be seeing issues such as the ones that we see in the media today, and then we'll react to that. Because we are good in crisis management. Police are very good in managing a crisis. The Honorable Chair asked the issue of the anti-corruption unit. And says, in the past, this unit has complained. It is true. It is illegal by law for any police officer to entice a person to commit an offense. The methods which they were using were unacceptable. You cannot go and withdraw cash, have it in your possession, just to go and entice a person to commit an offense. Those are the acts or conducts which we were not happy about, and I think the public were not happy about as well. But we are saying we need an anti-corruption unit. Even if we don't call it an anti-corruption unit, call it an investigation, internal investigation unit. And give it its terms of reference, because IP on its own, IP has got a mandate that differs completely from some of these things that the police are doing. Now, if you've got IP, which is an external instrument that plays an oversight role on the police, and then you have got the internal systems as well, don't you think this is going to play a major role? It will, because you will not only be scared of hearing of when you hear of ICE, you will also be scared that the people that you are working with, you don't even know them. You will not do anything wrong because you know that these people, one of them might come against towards me. I might be arrested for the crime that I'm committing now. So I strongly believe that that system, we need to have it back. We need to have it back. And Honorable Chair, you raised the issue of Parliament. Parliament, we are going to give it to you. We will discuss this with our lawyers and have the time so that we can come and give you the text and text of all this information, make it available to you. because we believe that 80% of the contribution that goes to Parliament is coming from this employer, it's from SARS. I mean, Treasury, but it's on their SARS. And when we raise this issue as individuals at the annual general meeting that took place in Mafikeng last year, I think it was on the 15th of July, we were held down. We were even told that you can go to the nearest court of this land. You can go to the public protector. You can go to whoever. And the person who says is the employer representative, is such representative who chairs that structure. And we raise very serious issues in that environment, which you will see when we give you this report. Promotion. The issue of promotion. The minister in the morning spoke about career pathing. You know, promotion in the police are a serious problem. I have joined the police because I love this job. To me, it's a calling. To me, it's an ovation. And I also want to see myself one day becoming someone in the police service. I want to see myself someone. I want to be a general one day. But with the current system, with the way things are done, you know, when a position, nowadays we don't even know. You just see a person, you will be told tomorrow that the person next to you is a brigadier. How? Where was this post advertised? You don't know. People are being placed in positions. We don't have a problem. We raise it even in the past. We don't have a problem when we bring in people from outside this environment into forensic environment, ballistic environment, because there you need experts. People will be able to write Section 2123. Police cannot produce those people. Come on. They're social workers. These employees, health and wellness programs, people. We can't produce them. But we are saying you can bring those people, advertise the post, let it be transparent, let the people compete and let's get the best. That's what we're saying. But a post of a captain in a crime service center, you just see a person coming from outside that environment, straight into that environment. What are we doing to those who are waiting, who are ambitious as well, because it is normal to be ambitious. I want to progress in life. The position has been closed. It can't be promoted. So the tension in this environment becomes more and more. You just go to work for the sake of going to work. Now what happens is that officer does not know anything, cannot do the job. You expect me to go and see this person and this, you must go and do this. I won't do it. Because I believe that the person that you brought in there should have all the necessary skills to do the job. And that's where I have the minister saying that the officer will simply ignore, you know, the junior officer when it's or even the senior officer when he's doing the job, when he's making mistakes. It's because of these problems that are there. Whoever brought you into this environment, that person must take care of you. That is the situation. It's an arrogant situation that is there. The issue of the pension fund, Honorable Banner, police service is number one on the list of the members who leave the environment on retirement and only get their dues after a long period of time. When you ask them, you will hear the story. We cannot trace these people. We can't trace them. There are people who are coming in now with their expertise and say, I heard that you have retired and you haven't received anything. I'm here to go and make sure that you are going to get your money, but I need 10% of it. It's happening, it's like that. I will need a certain percentage for you. Why would the police database be so poor? Why would it be so poor? Poor as it is, when promotions come of less than a major, which you were sitting with sex and sex of complaints, they still go to that very same database where 14,000 of members are employed even after the structure itself. That is why in the previous input that we made to the committee, we said the structure of the police is not in a hierarchical form. It is in a rocket form. because of the people that are being employed outside that resource establishment guide. This is the problem that we have. The database that is poor, but they still depend on it. The database that is poor, they select, you know, people to be promoted from it. The database that is poor, which it disables them to even train one of their own. What stops them from informing, you know, the pension department a month or even 3 months in advance to say, I am about to retire. I want all this performance to be handled now, so that when I retire in 3 months' time, I get what is due to me. It's a simple word. The issue of housing. It is true that you have to have, you must be a low income. What is a low income? The police are not in that category of them having to access, you know, the benefits of the RDC. But police also, you will recall last time that we had a complaint that many of the police officers, they would take even their credit, what is it, their pay card, what do you call this, debit card. They will go and to Mashoni, this lotion, hand it over their credit card because they are not fit with. When you go to the bank and say, I need to have a house, they don't have it, they cannot get access into that environment because they're not fit with. They're not. And at the end of the day, they cannot benefit from the RDP, they also cannot benefit from the, the training.
That's all of it. Thank you very much for that. Thank you to Sarko for the presentation and for the answers. We will await the information around the format. But also the other information that you said you will give us. You know, I think it's important that we get also the information around this pension issue as well, because that will enable us to have a look at it. Can I just indicate to members that we did invite Paul Krupak, who indicated that they couldn't be here today. I will indicate to ask the secretary to ask Paul Krupak to send their presentation in any case, so that we have the advantage of that when we interact with the management. Our last presentation for today before we leave. Thank you very much again, Sapo. We really appreciate you coming. Sapo also made good input last year with the detective dialogue, and it's good to have partners like ISS, Sapo, the secretariat, enriching our own work as well, and we really appreciate your effort. Our last presentation for today is the Secretariat of Police. Members will remember that we told the Secretariat last year that we want to hear from them critically an assessment of the budget and the APPs as the civilian oversight body for the police. And we said we don't want a nice presentation, we want the truth, so I believe we're going to get it today. And I would like to hand over to the Secretary of Police immediately without waiting time. You can introduce your team to the members so that we can start things.
Okay, just to quickly introduce the team, accompanying me is the Chief Director of Monitoring and Evaluation, Ms. Melissa Mkuruti. I think Florence Matoma you met last week, she's going to be doing the presentation, and behind me I think the committee members would know the two people who used to be my office manager, he's now working in Monitoring and Evaluation unit, so I'll hand over to Florence to take you through the presentation.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Our presentation, the outline will look like as follows. I'll start with the introduction, the background. The key focus areas that we're going to look at is the link between the strategic plan, the APP, the NDP, the JCPS cluster delivery agreement. And the second one is the link between the strategic plan, the APP, the budget, and the 10 priorities for the minister. And the third one is the performance indicators, comparative analysis that we're going to do in terms of which indicators were brought in, how measurable they are, which new indicators were brought in by the SSCS. We'll also look at capital projects separately. will also look at the CJS program, IAS program, and the ICT plan, and then we'll give the portfolio committee the recommendation and then conclusion. In terms of the introduction, the civilian secretariat for the police is established under the civilian secretariat for the police Act 2 of 2011, which alluded to the fact that we function under the authority and the direction of the minister. Our role is to exercise efficient and effective oversight role over the police and to give strategic advice to the minister in respect to developing and implementing policies. Another thing that we do, we also give reports to the minister in terms of the performance of the police service and the implementation and compliance of regulations and policies. In terms of Section 6.1b of the Act, it gives us the mandate to monitor the utilization of the budget of the police. This is aimed at ensuring compliance to policy directives and any other further instruction of the minister. In addition to this, we believe that the SAPS should also make sure that they comply with the PFMA, the Treasury Regulations, the Supply Chain Guidelines, and the Framework for Strategic Plan and Annual Performance Plan. Coming to the background, the mandate of the SAPS is indicated on the first bullet to say to prevent, command, combat, and investigate crime, maintain public order, protect and secure the inhabitants of South Africa and their property, and uphold and enforce the law. We will all remember that the minister in the morning indicated the upholding and the enforcement of the law. But he was not only referring to the citizens only, but also to the members of the forces who are to say they should not take law, become law unto themselves, but they must also be upholders of the law. Further, the National Commissioner in the foreword also made the indication to the fact that members of the police service should be upholders of the law and not consider the law as being themselves as being the law. This is referring to the first point that I just indicated. SAPS, we know that it focuses on the two outcomes, oriented goals, that is ensure that all people in South Africa are and feel safe, and ensuring adequate availability and access to SAPS service points. The SAPS strategic plan gives direction to the MPSF and informs the preparation of the 2013 annual performance plan in order to maintain continuity and effect improvement on the notable achieved successes in the fight against crime as witnessed since 2009-10 financial year. The APP was developed with guidance from the minister in terms of the identified policy priorities that I've alluded to above, the legislation administered by the minister, including the constitutional mandate of the police service. We also would like to allude to the fact that we would like to make informed input at the current stage to the strategic plan and the APP of the SAPS. However, we need to indicate that we sometimes get the APP and the annual report late, at a very late stage for us to make valuable impact. Coming to the slide 5, on the alignment of the strategic plan, the APP, the National Development Plan, the JCPS Cluster Delivery Agreement, we would like to allude to the fact that we find that there is a link between the APP the strategic plan 2010-2014 and the APP for the 2013-14. We feel that the strategic outcomes are fairly represented in the APP with clear performance indicators developed to achieve the third objective. The predetermined performance indicators contained in the refined cluster delivery agreement, mainly in terms of the performance within the detective service environment, has been incorporated in the APP. We will allude to this when we come to the detective services as a program. However, the strategic plan does not explicitly indicate how the SAPS intends to implement the provision of the rural safety strategy. Although this is indicated in the foreword of the minister and the foreword of the National Police Commissioner, but there is no strategy in place as to how this needs to be taken forward. Also, in terms of the NDP, there is no specific reference to the NDP. Most of this recommendation has already been incorporated within the identified policy priorities of the Department of Police implemented since 2010. The APP of 2013-14 has incorporated the NDP, especially with regard to sustainable community safety structures involved in the fight against crime. We also feel that there is a lack of proper strategies with regard to the implementation of the professionalization within the police as an addition. Coming to slide 6, continuing with the alignment of the strategic plan, APP budget and 10 policy priorities. The minister makes reference in the foreword to all the focus areas of the 10 policy priorities of the police. However, there is a lack of indicators for priorities except capital infrastructure and the CJS project. You will find that in the strategic plan that those 10 priorities are kind of highlighted if I'm not mistaken. The expenditure trend for the 2013-14 financial year will focus on the overall capacitation of the SAPS in terms of additional number of personnel. This was alluded to maintaining at 199,936. Capital infrastructure, skills development, and technological enhancement with regard to ICT. The largest driver we also tend to contradict with the guys who were presenting just before us in terms of saying visible policing is getting less amount of money in terms of the budget. We find visible policing as getting 46.6%. of the allocated budget, mainly attributed to the number of personnel doing the operational duties. So the chunk of the budget goes to visible policing. And the personnel budget increased from 46.8 billion to 50.8 billion in 2013-14, mainly to cater for the stabilization and normalization of the SAPS staff. Established at almost 200,000, as indicated above. In terms of the normalization of the staff, over the past years, the SAPS has experienced, in addition to what I just said, an increase of personnel, which put pressure on the police service in terms of recruitment. The ISF has indicated this in terms of the mass recruitment. We also feel that it's recruitment and training. And now that the SAPS has adopted this approach of normalization and stabilization, there's a need to address issues of professionalization of the police, as I've indicated before. And we also feel that significant emphasis should be on how visible policing is conducted, considering the fact that the minister has declared 2013-14 as the year of the frontline service delivery. So just again to emphasize visible policing getting the high budget, 46.8 billion of the SAPS budget. And just to continue on that, the spending on consultancy services, this was presented by the AG last week. We found that it will decrease from 136.4 million to 135.7 million in 2013-14. But it's picking up again to 149.2 million in 2015-16. The impact of the AG findings might not necessarily show during the MTF period, but we expect to see a shift during the forthcoming medium-term strategic framework. The key spending priorities that are indicated by the SAPS for the MTF period are increasing police access points to improve response time, procurement of specialized equipment and provision of training within the detective services and crime intelligence environment. Implementation of the Integrated Justice System Program, Domestic Violence Act, Firearm Control Amendment Act, Service Delivery Improvement Plan, Sector Policing and the Rural Safety Strategy. It also alludes to the investment in capital equipment to support basic policing services and the resourcing of the FCS unit and capacitation of the DTCR. In addition to this, when we look again to the APP, we found that they have also included other priorities, although the budget is not specific and it's not categorized in terms of where the budget is going to come from and which program. This is the networks and hosting. This is in addition to what they have said. Networks and hosting upgrades, basic services at police station, this means water, electricity and sanitation, the ramp at the police station access point for disabled individuals, and maintaining a level of funding that allows for management of police vehicles through the AVF. We know that there was an issue discussed around the AVL and the renewal of contracts and all those other issues that were discussed last week in terms of the procurement of consultancy. We feel that the increase in spending on consultancy is a big concern. And the consultancy budget apportioned to infrastructure and planning increases by 1,553.87%, while it decreases by 57.94% for laboratory services between 2012 and 2013 and 2013-14. However, in the midst of this high increase in the infrastructure and planning consultancy budget. We acknowledge the decrease in terms of the laboratory services. Although the decrease in the consultancy budget for forensic laboratory is welcome, the SAPS must provide clarity on what the increase in infrastructure planning entails, what would be the impact, and what measures are put in place to ensure that consultants are held accountable for their contractual obligations or to their contractual performance. Furthermore, the department should explain what services are being paid for under legal costs and the feasibility of building internal capacity to cater for future anticipated consultancy work. It is also noted that SAPS has prioritized spending on investment capital. However, the SAPS must explain whether this will address issues related to matter policy. Coming to the comparative analysis in terms of the indicators and targets for 2012-13 and 2013-14 in the APP. We have seen that the SAPS has taken some level of incremental target setting approach as opposed to maintenance that we saw in 2012-13 financial year. And there are some new indicators to measure the spending patterns, 100% on capital work, leases, and maintenance. However, in that indicator, they have projected 20% variance, which means that they are happy with the 80% performance, although their target is set at 100%. So this is concerning. They need to be clear on what target they want to achieve, rather than to give themselves a room for flexibility in case where they haven't achieved a target. In terms of the workforce, it remains unchanged at 98% and will be maintained during the MTS period. Here we find that it's a bit concerning because the baseline is 99%. However, the SAPS will maintain a target of 98% of the workforce. So this is against the principle that they need to use the baseline to inform their performance target for subsequent years in this regard. And also this lack of the use of the principle of the baseline. We find it when they also measure the personnel survival ratio. That their baseline was 3.98:1. And then for the 2013-14 financial, they have put the target to 4.51:1. So the SAPS should provide the breakdown of this ratio in terms of operational and non-operational members to the vehicle. We commend the SAPS for reintroduction of performance targets to measure the percentage of learners declared competent on completion of K-63 driver's training, the bursaries offered to policing and scarce skills, and the intake of learnership. You remember, Chairperson, that last year during the budget review, there was a recommendation from the portfolio committee concerning the issue of lack of drivers in the SAPS. To say, in police station you find police members who cannot drive. So this is a positive indicator that was included by the SAPS. And in terms of the buzzer, it's also a positive indicator in the fact that the SAPS is trying to impart skills to those graduates who are unemployed. And in terms of the issue of policing and this buzzer of policing and scarce skills, we find it concerning that they have reduced the budget of scarce skills by 4%. Although we welcome the increase of the buzzer of art to policing policing area. And also we commend the SAPS for the intake of learnership. If I may come back to the issue of the maintenance of the workforce again, while it is encouraging that the SAPS will be maintaining the workforce at 199,936, which is almost 200,000, a system that can manage issues around leave and sick leave must be put in place, because then the department will have a big staff, and then it must be able to manage the staff in terms of the loss of days by the department. And this should also look at reconciling the Volindela and the PESAL system in terms of the number of personnel. This was alluded to just previously in terms of some of the members not knowing how much personnel SAPS have in their establishment. In terms of Program 2, Visible Policy, the following performance indicators and targets remain unchanged. Target for serious and contact and trio crime remain unchanged. Target for stolen, stroke, lost firearms, and lost stroke robbed vehicles. The reaction time to complaint, number of crime-related hits. We welcome the reintroduction of the performance indicator to measure the number of police stations offering victim-friendly services and the quality of illicit drugs and liquor confiscated. And we also, in addition to that, there is a new indicator that was also as a result of the recommendation by the PC during the budget review last year, 2012-13, of including an indicator on sector policy. And another in terms of the provision of victim-friendly services. So while it is encouraging that the SAPS has given priority on the implementation of sector policy, it is important to ascertain the strategy and plans put in place to address this issue, especially in relation to human and physical resources. Furthermore, we also would appreciate if the SAPS can indicate whether the victim-friendly rooms have minimum standards in complying with the National Instruction 2 of 2012. In terms of the illicit drugs, we find that the department did not meet the target for confiscation of illicit drugs and liquor in 2011-12 financial year, but the target has been set to decrease at 3%, which is concerning. The target for confiscation of liquor decreased from 10% in 2011-12 to 3% from 2013-14. So it will be important for the department to provide information on how it intends to improve its performance, considering the failure to achieve this target, and also considering the sizable amount of the budget that is allocated to this indicator. We also find that the bullet 3, if I may go back, the performance target that measures the number of processed firearms related to application remains unchanged at 90. Excuse me. It remains unchanged at 90%. So the remaining 10%, what happens to it? Then it means there is an accumulation every year, which will end up creating a backlog. Further, it will be crucial that the SATS provide clarity in this regard in terms of process of creating the turnaround strategy for the Central Firearms Register. However, we also welcome the fact that this is a negative effect. We don't welcome this one. It was my mistake before I've checked properly. I apologize for that. We are concerned, Chairperson, that the SATS, after the review last year, the recommendation by the PC, by the portfolio committee, there are three indicators that they didn't include after the recommendation of the committee. These are the number of reported serious crimes within the rural environment, the number of identified unlicensed through illegal liquor premises to be closed, and the target for the number of awareness campaigns to be conducted. So those are the three that are, even after the recommendation last year, they were not included in the APP. To continue under detective services, most of the performance targets are mostly constant and there is no incremental throughout the MCEF period. The percentage inconsistencies in terms of trial ready case, docket for contact, trio, and serious crime is projected to increase by average 3% in 2012-13, moving steeply to 15% in 2013-14, and regressing back to 3% in 2014-15. So this is concerning to say exactly what is happening. Are they trying to catch up with some targets that were not achieved in terms of the refined delivery, the refined JCPS cluster agreement? So I'll come to that. The percentage of trial-ready dockets for crimes against women under 18 years is projected to increase by 1% in 2012-13 and steeply increase by 30% in 2013-14 and regressing back to 3% in 2014-15. So the indication is that they is under targeting and confining only to the predetermined targets agreed upon in the JCPS cluster. So if we may, I don't know, I didn't give, my apologies for not providing the agreement on the JCPS cluster agreement. It was agreed that by 2014, increase, they will increase the serious crime crime detection rate from 42.82% to 59%. So we see this indication showing that they're trying to reach the 59%. And the second one, by 2014, they will increase the contact crime detection rate from 52.5% to 60%. And if you look in the ACP, they have already in 2012-13 achieved the 60% target that they have indicated. Maintaining it throughout the MTEF period. So does it mean that when they reach a target, then work must stop and then maintain? By 2014, they will increase your crime detection rate from 13.5 to 34. This one they have indicated throughout the MTEF period that they are not going to achieve the target it has shown in the APP. By 2014, achieve 35 trial-ready docket rate. So this is the one that I am alluding to say that there is a concern that there is a high fluctuation in terms of this target, probably to catch up to the refined JPPS what that indicator.
For clarity, can you tell us when was that agreement reached? And can you also provide us
this is 2010-11 target. Not sure my chief director can clarify that when we finish the presentation.
So what we're seeing, if I understand correctly, what we're seeing is that they haven't done anything about it. Now the deadline is there. Now they're trying to reach it. Suddenly.
Okay. Looks like that. Chairperson.
You will be there.
Yes. So the sudden high increase in the performance target for trial rate may be an indication of trying to catch up with the cluster target by 2014-15, as I've alluded to that one. And we, in addition, we find that there's some emphasis also on the detectives in terms of professional ethics in dealing with misconduct, fraud and corruption, which is a plus. And the inclusion of the performance indicator in addressing serious corruption, especially in the SEM fraud cases, is indicative of a transparent public service. However, there is a negative aspect to it as well, that the performance indicator under the risk management plan does not talk to the zero tolerance to corruption and fraud. And there is a mixed up of what they really want to do. The SAPS, we will appreciate the SAPS to explain the measurements that they use to ascertain whether a case docket is trial ready and what constitutes a trial ready document. Going back to the issue of the fluctuation of the indicators. Coming to crime intelligence, the performance targets to measure crime intelligence, network operation, and the number of intelligence reports remain unchanged. However, we welcome that they have introduced five new indicators. These indicators talk to measure the number of covert intelligence projects, percentage of foreign and hostile intelligence operations, a percentage of information security breaches, percentage of strategic intelligence reports, and security threat assessment. So these are new indicators that have been put in place. The performance indicator to measure the number of intelligence products generated has been reintroduced, which is also a plus. the performance indicator to measure crime intelligence strategic and operation analysis report has been omitted from the 2013-14 APP in contrast to 2012-13. However, we think that it will be difficult also to assess some of the performance indicators in this program, since most of them are considered classified. So the significance of putting these performance indicators is as uncertain, since the achievement or non-achievement of the target will remain a mystery. And the fact that the information is not for public knowledge. Program 5, Protection and Security Services. All performance indicators within this program have not changed, and targets in terms of audited and evaluated strategic installation at national key points is maintained at 50% and 100% respectively for the MTES period. In addition to this, we find that to assess this indicator, the CFC will need the evaluation report produced on the installation of national of this national key. Under capital projects like CERCIM, we find that the strengthened budget allocation for capital infrastructure in terms of building and upgrading police stations will increase from 794.6 million in 2012-13 to 1 billion in 2013-14. But we must also remember that the 794.6 is a revised budget. So it means if we're still maintaining the budget, the previous budget, then the expenditure will still be low on capital projects. With the strategic plan indicates that the SAPS will undertake a total of 36 capital projects for the 2013-14 financial year, comprising of 5 new police stations, 5 newly re-established police stations, 25 re-established police stations, and 5 prepared and upgraded police stations. We find that this capital infrastructure remains one of the policy priorities of the department. However, there is a need for the department to provide a holistic capital infrastructure strategy, including the costed implementation plan for the MTS period. We also find that the understanding the infrastructure project is evident during preceding years. In 2012-13, a total budget of 794 was allocated, of which only 55.6% was spent by the end of third quarter, with only 2 projects implemented. So we are saying that, going back to the fact that they have revised this budget, if it was not revised, then the 55.6 will even be less. The target set for infrastructure projects in 2013-14 seems too ambitious, taking into consideration the transversal challenges within the DPW and spending patterns currently experienced. So while increasing the budget allocation to capital projects is welcome, the SATF must explain how they plan to spend the ring-fenced budget to ensure improved spending, how is the department going to achieve the target, and what is the specific police station or police facility to which this capital project to be undertaken. Like voting the CJS program and the IGS program. 300 million has been budgeted for spending on the CJS revamp program, which is expected to increase to 400 million in 2014-15. The allocation for the budget, allocated budget for the CJS in 2013-14 financial year was 2.143 billion, with only spending of 2% at the end of the first quarter. The spending on IGS program was at 40.8% of the allocated budget of the 295.6 million at the same period. The spending of the JCS and IGS program has been very slow during the preceding years. Yes, the budget keeps increasing with rollover over amounts from the preceding year. We feel that the department should develop a proper CJS-IGS strategy in order to improve on its contribution on the integrated approach to the CJS research for South Africa. The department must also ensure that all its internal systems developed are compatible, and that they are integrated with systems of all the departments within the JCPS cluster in terms of the integrated approach to the CJS. ICT plan, they have projects which are listed under there, which will be undertaken to provide support to CJS and IJS programs. For example, the request for service solution will be provided to holding of the 10111 center. And 142 police stations are earmarked to be provided with and implement the firearm functionality of the PCEM. And the last one is the CCTV to be implemented at priority sites during the 2013-14. Similar sites I identified in 2013 are indicated again in 2013. Those sites that were identified before, they've also been repeated in 2013-14. This may be an indication that the target set for 2012-13 on this site may not be achieved. The third quarter report supports this statement. We feel that there is no breakdown of the budget allocated to this project, including the specific names of the police station facilities to which this project are deployed. Under general comments, the strategic plan and annual performance plan are fairly aligned to the policy priorities of the FAPS, NDP, JCPS, cluster, fine delivery agreement, although there are those indicators that are fluctuating that need to be alluded to and attention to be brought to the SAPS to clarify the portfolio coming from that one. The SAPS workforce will increase to reach 199,936 by the end of 2014 to enable the SAPS to achieve the set target. The allocation of increased budget to capital projects, CJS, IGS is appreciated, and indications are that the SAPS has put measures in place to improve spending and deliver of the output. The overall incremental trend of performance target will ensure that SAPS strive to improve year on year. There is also a risk management plan that when we develop the presentation, we overlook the slide on the risk management plan, but we felt that it was important to highlight some of the serious risks that they have indicated in the APP. The six the risks were identified, but I will allude to three of them. Inadequate personal security leading to murders of police officials was reduced by 10%. We feel that this is a low indicator, considering that you cannot just accept that the killing of the police. So the police, the SACS must also indicate how far they are in terms of implementing the 10-point plan that was produced during the summit, the police killing summit. So they need to provide us with how far in terms of the progress implementing the 10-point plan. The second one that we feel very odd about is the corruption and fraud involving SACS members will be reduced by 3%. And we feel that this is really contradicting the fact that they have already indicated zero tolerance to fraud and corruption. So we feel that a percentage that should be zero rather than three. The third one that we would like to allude to is criminal conduct by SACS members. All criminal charges that are conducted by the SACS members will be reduced by 5%. This shows that then it's acceptable that members of the police can conduct criminality or crime. We have specific concerns, which some of them I have already alluded to. The omission of the target, measuring the disposition of firearm and bulletproof vest, the issue of the ratio of personnel to vehicle that we have indicated, which moved from 3 to 4. The third one is the inconsistency capital project plan contained in the strategic plan APP of 2013-14. We feel that infrastructure projects are not clearly articulated, and it is not clear how many new police stations are going to be built. The APP refers to 24 buildings at a planning and design stage, 13 under construction by DPW. It also refers to 6 buildings at planning and design stage, while only 1 is under construction by SACS. So a clear indication by SACS needs to be reflected with regards to infrastructure projects on the APP throughout the MTF period. They have included the SDIP in the APP, but we feel that this SDIP seems to focus solely on the community service center. The police are commended for developing the 4 quadrants of frontline service delivery with key service delivery objectives. However, clear performance indicators and standards need to be developed for this plan. And we also feel that it is important to understand whether the SACS had an existing SDIP with performance indicators and targets. This will assist in measuring progress with regard to other issues requiring improvement within the department. Mm. visible policing. We are concerned about the 10% remainder within the performance indicator related to processing of firearm applications and uncertainty within the, with regard to the turnaround strategies for the CFR. So we're talking about the backlog issue that we alluded to before. We also find that audited figures on serious crimes for the 2009-10 and 2010-11 have changed. So these are figures that have been put as baseline, but then in the APP 2013-14 they have changed. And the performance target for measuring escape in police custody is confusing. We are saying this because they have all described, they're saying the description of targets does not, we're saying the description of targets does not provide clear explanation of what it meant. For example, it's saying not exceeding 0.050%. So the department should give clear explanation or revise the performance indicator. In terms of the visible policing, there are also issues of the meeting the quotas. Although it's not clearly defined, we feel that the department is rushing to meet the quotas, which is not a good way of measuring performance, and also undermines the principle of community-centered policy. And we also feel that the scoring in terms of performance charts not only undermines the, in fact, in terms of those police stations that are scoring low, they would feel demoralized, such that then some of the crimes will not be included in the registers, just to make sure that they score high like other police. This is just an assumption. It's not a true reflection. It's an assumption on our side. And we also feel that this undermines the ability of government to identify serious crime problems. For example, high level of withdrawal of cases, for example, assault cases, will result in non-recording of police to reduce the statistic level of crime in their census. So this is just an assumption on our side. To say the use of performance charts, although it was meant for a positive, should also be looked at to see what are the negatives in terms of that performance chart. In terms of detective services, there is under-targeting and maintenance of performance targets that we alluded to. The sudden high increase in the performance target for trial-ready case documents, we have spoken about the fluctuation. Under crime intelligence, the specific concern is that most of the indicators are classified. So why include them in the APP? This is just a comment. There are inconsistencies in the use of percentage in some cases in the APP with no actual numbers presented. And Treasury make reference to the use of percentage on the framework for strategic plan and annual performance plan to say that the baselines and targets must be expressed in terms of numbers. However, if a percentage is then the absolute number must be presented as well. And Finally, coming to the recommendations, we feel that the SACF must ensure that the civilian secretariat is involved in their planning processes in order to provide input related to the policy direction of the minister, and that the SACF must ensure that all concerns raised by the civilian secretariat for police, including those raised by other oversight structures and civil society, are properly addressed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think, members, let me say that I want to congratulate the civilian secretariat of police for this presentation. I think for the first time, we actually have a presentation from the secretariat that is critical, that is analytical, and that does not hold punches, and that's what we expect of the civilian secretariat of police. Secretary, I want to say to you that we would like to have this team present, if possible, during the annual report hearings, that the budget hearings of such. Even if it is to play also a supportive role to the members, to remind members during tea times and things about questions that should be asked and about some of the issues. But I think also it's important for them to be present to, so that they can also pick up on the concerns of the committee itself and report back to yourself and the minister on that. I just want to say that I have got a bit of a concern on your interpretation of the sudden increases and then the lower increases thereafter. I agree with you that I think they're changing the target, but I think if you then look at if you look at 30% that they want to increase it with, and you then look at 3% thereafter, if it then comes to 58% the year thereafter, it should then be 61%, the year after it should be 64%. Is that how you understand it as well? So your concern is with this first 30% increase. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, then I think we are on the same page as far as that is concerned. Secretary, to you specifically, we have indicated to such that they cannot inform this committee by near telephone call and by the way that we've made mistakes in the annual report. And you also alluding to that in terms of the figures that are different, the baseline figures that are different from the annual report. Now, it's not only in this case, it's also in terms of the children in conflict with the law. Those numbers are also wrong. And we have indicated to them the way to deal with that is by the minister tabling a correction with the Speaker of Parliament. It's not just a by-the-by incident. They need to table it formally through the minister's office to the Speaker of Parliament, who will then inform this committee. So I'm alerting you to that again so that we can make sure that that gets done before they come here. Such cannot think that they can change things just by the stroke of a pen. It doesn't work that way. Members, can I ask, are there any questions that you would like to ask the Secretariat, or are you clear? Is there any clarity? Honourable Kulabana?
I'm just right at the end on your page 19, where you say the SAC must ensure the civilian secretariat is involved in their planning processes, etc. Is that telling me that you were not involved? Do they cut you out? I mean, we need to know that.
I think the point that we're making is that we received the report almost too late to really make serious input into it. And what we would like to see is become part of the planning process where we can make sure that the priorities are achieved. Even to make sure that some of the issues that have been raised around the professionalism are addressed. You know, it's fine to look at targets only in terms of figures, but if we're not looking at the professional side of policing, then we actually chasing the statistics as opposed to chasing crime. And those are the kinds of inputs we would want to make. The process starts in July. We can't be receiving the APPs just before it gets signed off by the minister, because then it's too late to change.
I think members have taken note of that. Any other questions of clarity, Honourable Global?
No, Chairperson, it's not a concern. I saw my sister is reading to the another document. Is that document privy to them?
we are going to distribute that document to us. I did ask them to distribute that document to us, and they will do so. It is the agreed...
I'm not talking that one, because that one that she was reading on, Jefferson, she's more elaborated than the pointer one.
We'll ask them to hand that, if possible, to give us a note as well, so that Bobelwa can make copies for members of that. Members, but I think we are in general agreement that this has really been very, very valuable to us. That's what we expect of the Secretariat of Police, and I think in future we might even consider having this session just before we start such need to start understanding that this is the role that the Secretariat should play, that we don't have the Secretariat here a week or two before we see such, but that we start the morning with the Secretariat giving us an evaluation, an honest evaluation of what they see the APPs and the strategy plan like. Thank you very much for that. I really think it's been extremely valuable to us, and it will definitely assist us. And as I say, Secretary, if we can have the team present, I know it's a whole week that we take out of the program, but I think it's also valuable for them to hear what SUS is saying and to alert us at that time if SUS is not telling us the total truth, so that we can then address the issue while we have SUS there.
Could I ask that Flo and the two PD here, but obviously Millie and the Chief Director have got a lot of stuff, so if we could just have the two of them here and excuse Millie from that presence.
It's fine, the team, however you put them together, it's fine, but I think that we just have them. I know they have been here in the past as well, but their role has been more of an observer role. What we are requesting this time around is that they interact with the members, with the committee researchers, with myself, as we go through the process, so that they alert us about the issues, even if it's during tea time. When we take breaks or pass a note to one of the researchers or whatever the case may be, that we can get that. Members, we are about to we will see the Secretary of Police tomorrow again for input. Secretary, I'm requesting you to come as early as you can. We will change our program accordingly because we now no longer have the Commissioner or ICAP there. So I think it might be easier for yourself as well if you can come earlier. We're not going to put a time on it because I know you've also got another program. We will continue with our own program as is. We are leaving now. I believe the copy is outside. Outside poor place. I'm just worried about Mr. George now. He said he's going to be back in an hour. We've given him more than an hour. But I will ask that you just phone him and find out where he is, please, and that we can then give him directions to the venue. Can I just get an indication who are the members that are using the combi, the transport? So Honourable Mulabati, Honourable Sibiya, are you using the combi or using your own vehicle, sir? You might have to use the combi as well. The combi is just going to stop quickly at Pelican Park to give the Honourable an opportunity to get her clothes, because she wasn't going to come with us originally. But there's a member that has cancelled, and rather than letting it go, she's also making very valuable contributions to the committee. So I would like the combi just to stop there to give her 5 minutes to pick up her stuff. Honourable Law doesn't help. I have to help back. You can just sit in the combi, so you can relax. Members, we're going to arrive there. We're still fine in terms of traffic if we leave now. So what I would suggest that we do is that when we get there, the program says that we will start at 17:30 to 7 o'clock briefing by the researchers. It's not necessary that we do that tonight for that first briefing, because we now have the time tomorrow morning. I would suggest that we do one session this evening, but that members can go, when we arrive there, go to your rooms, relax, you're right on the ocean, walk around if you want to walk around. That we then, 7 o'clock, we will have dinner, and 8 o'clock, we will start then research. Nadia, if it's okay with you, that we just do the NDP plan for tonight, then the other two we can move to tomorrow morning. And that way try and save some time, but it's also been a very long day for members. So if we just do that one program, so you've got off once we get there until 7 o'clock, and then 7 o'clock is dinner, and 8 o'clock we will start with the briefing. Members that are going there on their own, you take the M2, you then take the Strand Boulevard Road. The one going to Stellenbosch and Strand. I can't remember what the off ramp is. It's the one after MacArthur. It's the Somerset West, Stellenbosch, Strand off ramp. You take that one, you get onto the bridge, you turn to your right. Then you carry on with that road, straight on with it, until you get. The easiest route is to actually take the scenic route next to the ocean. So you travel next to the ocean, you take the beach road, I don't know what the name is, but you can see, you travel towards the ocean, in front of all the hotels and flats in Strand, you're still in Strand. Just carry on straight with that road. It then gets to a T-junction. At the T-junction, you turn right. And then you are in the road where Villa Via is. Villa Via is to your right, just after there's a housing development of VIA. There's a golf development on your right-hand side and houses. And it's basically just after that, you would see there's a sign Villa Via to its hotel. It's very easy to get. You can't really miss it. Honourable Law, if you need to get a lift with the coffee, you must have indicated it. Thank you very much. Thank you, members. We will then see each other at